You all set? Okay, we'll move to the next case, which will be argued by both parties by phone. This is Rhonda Desjarnette versus Parkview Health Systems. Mr. Keaton, are you here? You're having trouble hearing?
Yeah.
Hearing me?
Okay,
I didn't have the microphone close enough. Okay, and Ms. Sank?
Yes, yes, sir.
Can you hear okay, too?
Yes.
Can you hear each other?
Yes, I can hear Mr. Keaton.
And I can hear Ms. Sank.
Okay, well, you may then proceed, Mr. Keaton.
Thank you. May I please record? My name is Mark Keaton. I'm from Portland, Indiana, and I represent Ms. Rhonda Desjarnette, the plaintiff below the appellant of this appeal. This is an appeal from a summary judgment decision granted in defendant appellee's Parkview's favor by the Honorable Magistrate Roger Cosby. This is an ERISA case. Ms. Desjarnette contends that she was entitled to severance benefits upon for her position being eliminated by Parkview. Parkview takes the position that Ms. Desjarnette's right to severance benefits never vested. And that is, in essence, the entire dispute between the parties. What was the triggering date, the vesting date for severance benefits under the written policy? Factually, the case is very simple, straightforward. The parties do not dispute any facts. Ms. Desjarnette is a former supervisor, dietary supervisor at Parkview. She worked there for 6 years. In late 2000, Parkview decided to restructure the department, which restructuring would eliminate Ms. Desjarnette's position and create new positions. On October 30th, 2000, Ms. Desjarnette was informed that she could apply for the new positions and that her old position would disappear. She did apply. She continued to work in her old position while the restructuring moved forward. On February 1st, 2001, a Thursday, she was called to a meeting with her supervisor and the head of the Human Resources Department, told she had not been selected for any of the new positions, told that her position had been eliminated, and that effective the following Monday, February 5th, she would not have a job.
But Mr. Keaton, this is Judge Wood asking you a question. I would like you to address in particular the effect of clause Roman numeral 4, capital A3 of this plan, which begins if reorganization has been completed and goes on. And it seems to me that the only sensible way to read that would be to say that the trigger date for eligibility for severance payments is after the reorganization has been completed, not at the time the employee is told that the reorganization is going to be completed on a particular date, which in Ms. Desjarnette's case is February 5th. I know we're talking about only a few days here, but you know, you could imagine this problem coming up when an employer gives somebody 60 days notice, or for that matter, 6 months notice. I mean, and this particular plan seems to use language that rather clearly points to the completion of the reorganization effort.
Well, Judge, we do not necessarily disagree that the completion of reorganization may be the trigger. We do not necessarily believe that the date the position disappears is the equivalent of the completion of the reorganization.
But why is that the case? Because it seems to me reorganizations are at least very often fluid things, and employers up until the moment that the job is really gone might need to make adjustments along the way. Now, we can, you know, off the seat of the pants kind of predict between a Thursday and a Monday that may not be likely to happen. But if you're using this language, if reorganization has been completed, why isn't it the most straightforward reading to say it's all of the steps contemplated in the reorganization have now happened?
I think, Your Honor, there are a couple of points. First, I do agree that this provision addresses what will happen when the reorganization is completed, and does indeed indicate that when that occurs, position elimination will occur, and that the policies, provisions with respect to position elimination do kick in. If you look at Article 4B3, however, there is the concept of a displaced employee, and that is a person who is in a certain status in advance of position elimination, and there are certain rights that with the displaced employee.
But those rights are, I mean, first of all, B is called position elimination, and B3 is talking about notice and so forth. And there's, you know, 4 weeks notice of the position elimination, again, seeming to contemplate that at the end of that 4 weeks, the commission is gone. And then it does refer to severance pay. But I see nothing in B3 that suggests the severance pay right is tied in with the notice. You make a decision, and then maybe you get severance pay, or maybe you choose to work for the 8-week period. You know, different things can happen.
Well, we think the relevant language in the policy that addresses who gets severance is Article 6D, which says the displaced employee will receive severance in the amount of 1 week per year of service. So there are these sort of two concepts floating around, a person whose position has been eliminated and a person who has attained displaced status. Attainment of displaced status clearly under 4B3 occurs in advance. Under the language of the policy, it's supposed to happen at least 4 weeks in advance. But by looking at the language in 6D, which says it's displaced employees who receive the severance, we believe that indicates that, in essence, you're told that the position is about to disappear, you're supposed to be told 4 weeks in advance, you've got the option to stick around and work for those 4 weeks, or leave immediately and take your severance.
But where does it say in this policy that somebody who is not an employee as of the date that the reorganization is completed is nonetheless entitled to severance?
There is nothing in this policy apart from the provision that says a displaced employee is entitled to receive severance.
So you think that even if she had stormed out on, you know, a date 4 weeks before the reorganization was completed, she could be off there not being an employee for 4 weeks, and then the date the reorganization happened, she could start collecting severance pay?
No, I think that she attained displaced status on February 1st, 2001.
Right, but I'm saying what if they'd complied with the 4 weeks in 4B? Under your theory, she could have marched out the door the day she heard that she was getting the 4 weeks notice, been a non-employee for 4 weeks, and then as of the date the reorganization was completed, collect. And that seems odd in the light of the language of this policy.
I do believe that there is an interim between the time you're told in advance that your position will disappear, during which the employee can stay or leave. And if they leave, they can take the severance. One of the things I find confusing about the policy is it is not really designed, it seems to me, to address severance. I don't think that that's its overarching purpose. When you look at this plan to address restructuring and position elimination, I find it to really be creating a system in which an employee whose job is lost can stay with the company, stay in the system for a period of time, and continue to look for other positions in the system.
You, by the way, you only have a minute left of your rebuttal.
His option can stick around and try to find another job, or go ahead and leave. And so, whereas I must agree with Rhonda that there is no language in here that says the employee gets to... no express language that says the employee is vested upon being informed that the position elimination is set to occur 4 weeks later. There is likewise no language in here that says your severance rights do not vest until the date of position elimination.
Your orange light is on. You just got a few seconds left. If you want to wrap it up, I'll give you a minute on rebuttal, but I don't want you to go over here. You don't have the benefit of a light.
Thank you. The only point I would make is we both sides agree that we do not think the plan is ambiguous, but we do think that there is some confusion inherent in it, probably because it doesn't seem like its overarching goal is severance.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll give you a minute of rebuttal.
Thank you.
Ms. Sank?
Yes, sir. May it please the court, Your Honor, my name is Monica Sank. I am counsel for Purchase Health Systems, Inc. What is the personnel policy manual section entitled Employment Security? Addresses what is to occur in the event the company is reorganized and positions are eliminated due to that reorganization. Severance is just one possibility under this section of the policy. The policy does set out an order of events in its language. First, new positions, if any, arising out of that reorganization are posted and qualified candidates are interviewed for those positions. They will interview for five positions that were to arise out of the reorganization. She was not selected for any of those positions. The second step in the policy is that prior to supporting position, there's no severance available, set forth specifically in the policy manual. I think that makes it clear that Crunchy intends to place employees, as counsel previously stated, in new jobs during the restructuring of the department. Third, flowing from the policy, if you're not hired for a new position and department reorganization is complete, then position elimination occurs. And once those two things happen, the fluid position elimination option kicks in. And those are set forth in short appendix page 9 at section B entitled to position elimination. Now, this is the order of the policy, and this is how the policy is meant to be put into place and meant to be followed. The next section entitled position elimination, these options only kick in after the completion of the reorganization.
Well, except that under, this is Judge Wood again, under the position elimination section, there does appear to be a four-week notice provision that's obviously before the elimination. So there's some overlap, it seems.
Yes, Your Honor. And in fact, we has two positions on the notice provision. The first position is really that CJNA was given notification in October that her position was to be eliminated. And also, she was given notice during the meeting in January that she was going to be eliminated as of February 5, 2001. She would no longer have a position available to her. However, during that meeting, she was also informed by the Vice President, John George, and this is undisputed, that she would be given 30 days to work within the system to find an additional position. She was only previously were positions within the dietary department. She was given at her meeting with Mr. Dorch additional 30-day period to find a job within the project health system and her employee function staff employee. So she was given a notice at that time under this policy. It says a minimum of 4 weeks, and Mr. Dorch couched it as 30 days then to find another position within the system. But since Ms. Dunne chose to sever the relationship prior to reorganization, although she was given this notice, she never went to the second step under B3, which was to engage in looking for a job during the four-week period, and then if not finding a job, discussing the severance option and then being entitled to severance.
And those notice dates were not in dispute, were they?
No.
Either of those dates?
No, Your Honor. We have no factual disputes with regard to any of the notice dates. Now, Ms. DeJournay's argument, I think Judge Wood has hit the nail on the head. Ms. DeJournay either is arguing she's vested in October or she's vested in February, which means she could have essentially walked out the door in October.
Okay, do you have anything else?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Mr. Keaton, I said I'd give you another minute if you need it.
One quick point. This really is an argument that I feel like I'm hearing for the first time. What counsel appears to be contending is that Ms. DeJournay was given the 4 weeks' notice that the policy provides, and that is not what Judge Cosby found, and that is not what was argued. What's been argued here and below is that Ms. DeJournay had to be there on that Monday, and she would have asked her had she done that, she would have gotten her severance, but because she left 3 days earlier, she wouldn't. It seems to me that this new position is just inconsistent with the evidence that was written below, and would render the magistrate's decision suspect on those grounds alone.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel, and I'm glad we were able to get both of you on the phone given the bad weather. This case. Okay, thanks. The case will be taken under advisement, and we'll move on to the last case, which has one counsel, will be by phone, so we'll wait to get that one organized now.